Have your Bibles tonight. I want you to turn with me to the book of the Acts of the Apostles, verse 20. The Acts of the Apostles, verse 20. Chapter 27, verse 20. How about that? Will that help? Just turn anywhere in there to verse 20 and we'll pick it up. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 27, verse 20. Amen. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. But after a long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Therefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast on a certain island. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, God, for your word. And we ask, God, you'd reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us and make us, God, to sit in heavenly places with you. For we're believing and trusting you for that you're going to do for us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Would you reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look them right in the eye and say, Hey, you're beautiful. And I am glad to see you in the house of the Lord tonight. I want to talk to you tonight. Several years ago, I bought a little book. I bought it for my son and then turned it into this sermon. It's entitled Alexander's Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. It's by Judith Vorst. It's a great little old book. Matter of fact, I actually bought a companion book that's on my desk in the office down in Buell. It said, Alexander, I was rich one day. But I want you to listen to this and see if you ain't had some days like this. I woke up this morning, there was gum in my hair. When I started down the steps, I tripped over the skateboard that somebody left there. When I was getting ready to leave, I dropped my favorite sweater in the sink and it was full of water. At breakfast, Nick found an secret agent decoder ring in his breakfast cereal box. Anthony found a secret spyglass in his cereal box, but all I had in my cereal box was cereal. And I knew this was the beginning of a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. At school, the teacher didn't like my picture as much as she did Jenny's. Jenny's was a picture of flowers. Mine was the invisible castle. And at singing, she said I sang too loud. And at counting, she said I left out 16. But who needs 16 anyway? And when I got to lunch, Paul had a little cake with coconut sprinkles on top for his dessert. And Mandy had a piece of pie for her dessert. And guess what? I didn't have nothing for dessert in my lunch. And I knew I was having a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. School was out, we went to the dentist, and I was the only one he found a cavity in. On the way out, the elevator door closed on my foot. We got outside, and Anthony pushed me into the mud. Nick said I was a crybaby, and when I hit him, Mom called me swinging back. And I'm still in the middle of a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. Things were looking up. We went by Dad's office. And at Dad's office, I was having a great time making copies of my hand and face till the machine jammed. And I broke the telephone trying to call Australia. And Dad said I couldn't come by the office anymore, no matter how bad Mama needed to drop me off. We went to the shoe store, and Anthony picked out red tennis shoes with white stripes. Nick got him a pair of black shoes with a tiger on the toe. I picked out blue shoes with a white stripe on it, and the man said, we're sold out in your size. And mom bought me plain white ones, but I ain't wearing them because I'm having a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. When I got home, they had lima beans for supper, and I hate lima beans, and they was kissing on TV, and I hate kissing. And I dropped my favorite marble down the sink, and it went through the drain while I was waiting to take my bath. And when I got in the water, it was way too hot, and I got soap in my eyes. And then I got out and found out all I had to wear was them dumb railroad pajamas. And I knew I was having a bad day, a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. And when the time came to go to bed, my nightlight burned out. Nick took back the pillow he gave me for life. I bit my tongue and the cat won't sleep with me. I about decided I'm just going to move to Australia. And then mom assured me people in Australia have bad days too. I want to tell you, church, I don't know about y'all, but I've had some of them days. Amen. Now, I know some of y'all said, preacher, that's silly. No, it's not, because if you really think about it, some of us has had those days where we got up in the morning and wished we'd never got up. You know, we got up on both sides of the bed and both of them was wrong. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but I've had some terrible, horrible, no good, very bad weeks. I've had some terrible, horrible, no good, very bad months. And y'all may not believe this, but we've had some people's had terrible, horrible, no good, very bad years. And when they come along, there's some things we got to do if we're going to make it. And I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of folks in the church I'm worried about, because they listen to these highfalutin preachers that says you're never going to have a problem, and you're never going to have a trial, and you're never going to have a trouble. And then all of a sudden trouble comes and you feel like you've let God down. You feel like something's wrong in your relationship. But can I tell you that no matter how good you live, you're going to have some terrible, horrible, no good, very bad days. And they're going to be sometimes you're going to say, God, I know I'm down here, and I know there's a fiery furnace in front of me, but somehow, some way, God, you're going to bring me through. Could you say amen? All right. See, first of all, you got to understand everybody has bad days. Psalms 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver us out of all of them. Now, church, notice what he said. We're going to have trouble. Many are the afflictions. Y'all ever heard what Jesus said? He said, I came that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. That's awesome, isn't it? Till you read the definition of life in the scripture. Life is but a vapor that is a few days and full of trouble. And then Jesus said, I want you to have more of it. Hello? Come on, church, look at me. Some of y'all saying, preacher, you're serious. Hey, that's what the scripture said. Now, I know Jesus was saying, I want you to be happy, and I want you to have power. But, church, we're still going to have bad days. And can I tell you, some of us need to be like Andre Crouch in that song he wrote about Through It All. If I'd never had a problem, I'd never know God could solve them. And I'd never know what faith in God could do. But I thank God for the mountains, and I thank him for the valleys, and I thank him for the trials he's brought me through. Why? Because in every situation, I found a God that if I'm in the storm, he's there with me. If I'm in the fire, he's going to be there with me. If I got to go through the trial, he's going to go through it with me. And because of that, no matter how terrible, no matter how horrible, no matter how bad the day is, I still know that sooner or later, there's coming a midnight hour, and there's a day on the other side. The sun's coming up again, and life's going to turn around. Could you say amen? Glory. Say, oh, preacher, I'm not convinced. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9. Who resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in the brethren that are accomplished in the world. Hello? So, preacher, what does that mean? That means we got to have the same things everybody else is having. We got to deal with sickness. We got to deal with problems. Come on, church. Somebody told me the other day, I ain't going to accept that. I tried that once. I'd had knee surgery. I had 27 screws in that knee, wire wrapped around them. I'm serious. For months after that, you could put your hand on my knee and I'd bend it. It'd feel like you was running your hand over the grill, just fixing to cook on. You could hear me pop. I snapped, crackled, and popped like Rice Krispies in milk. Now I'm laying there with that cast going from my hip down to my ankle. And the nurse come in, she said, now, Mr. Stroop. I said, why you call me that? Because she was a Church of God preacher's wife. She said, because you ain't going to want to be my brother after a while. She said, but I got some stuff for you. The doctor ordered and said, we can go ahead and give you some now, and you won't have to worry about it. I said, what is it? She said, morphine. I said, ma'am, I don't want no morphine. I might get hooked on it. She said, we ain't going to give you enough to do that. We're just going to kill your pain. I said, nah, I ain't going to accept it. I'm just believing God. It ain't going to be there. Now, church, that's good stuff. But living in denial and living in faith is two different things. And when you in the swamp up to alligators and they gnawing on your ears, it's time to quit talking about God ain't going to let this happen to me. About 3 o'clock in the morning, I stood up on that nurse's button, and she come running the door. She said, what you want? I said, a jar of that stuff to start with, and any more you can give me, because I'm dying over here. Glory. Do you know it took nearly to the middle of the morning before I quit hurting, because I was too dumb to take preventive maintenance? They brought a pump in there. Y'all ever had one of them things? Oh, it felt so good. Fred Ashley said, is he going to overdose? The doctor said, oh, no, he just gets so much, but it felt good pumping it. I mean, you know, I was just hitting it. I didn't care. Now, church, I'm not taking away from what God can do, but if you're looking at a fiery furnace and you know you got to go in that fire, it's dumb to pretend that fire ain't going to burn you. You got to believe there's a God that's going to take care of you when you go in the fire. And we've got to get back to that place where instead of denying there's something out there, we start believing there is real trouble I'm going to get into, but there is a real God that's going to bring me out. Could you say amen? Praise God. Now, church, amen, a lot of preachers will preach to you like that, but I'm going to start talking to you about some things you do when you're having a bad day. Amen. Notice what Paul did. First of all, Paul prayed even when no one else was praying. The Bible said they're in the boat. Now, I want y'all to get an idea of what's going on here. Amen. Notice what it said. Neither sun nor stars for many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, and all hope that we should have be saved was taken away. Now, church, y'all need to understand something. You're out on the ocean, you don't go to the corner of 5th and Main and turn right. The only way you can navigate on the ocean back then was if you could find the stars in the sky, take what they call a sextant and look at it and get an angle and take that angle and figure out where you headed, east or west, by a compass, and then turn and get going in the right way to go the way you want to go. Now you got a problem. They ain't seen the sun or the stars in days, so they ain't got a clue where they are. They're worse than a man without GPS and nobody to ask. Hello? I'm gonna tell you, it's a lonely feeling. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm about to fall. First time I went to Justin and Denise's house, I'm using my GPS. I'm going straight to the house. Any of y'all ever been to their house? It don't work that far out. I don't care if it's coming from a satellite. Satellite beams don't make it to their house. I'm driving down a back road, and all of a sudden I look down, and the GPS goes, we have lost signal. You don't want to lose signal out there, because I go down to what I think is the road. I went trail riding in my Toyota. I got down there so bad I couldn't even turn around, and I kept thinking sooner or later I got to find somewhere. And I finally had to back up for about 400 or 500 yards to find a place to get turned around and get back out of them woods. I probably could have gone hunting instead of going to their house and been a lot happier. I finally got to the road going to the house and found the house, and I had never even admitted this to some of them. Amen. But I remember she's talking about us coming back over there. I said, I'm following somebody this time. And they went by the house. And I won't tell you who that was, but he's in this building tonight. Amen. I remember I was sitting in the car. We go by and I looked at Fred. I said, well, that's their house. She said, maybe he knows a better way. Hello. But now, church, if you've ever been out on, any of y'all ever been out on the ocean? Come on, Brother Cobb, raise your hand. You was in the Navy, wasn't you? I finna say, I hope you was on the ocean if you was in the Navy. Lord. If you've never been on the ocean, you won't understand this, but when you're out there and a storm catches you, the world comes apart. I'm on a shrimp boat. They sent a squall warning out. All boats head to shore under 50 to 60 feet. I'm in one that fits that category. Only the guy's got the squelch turned down because it was bothering him. And all of a sudden, this other boat comes by and says, y'all supposed to be heading to shore. He goes, why? I said, they got waves coming in, 40 and 50 foot, possibly. I don't like 5 foot waves when I'm in a boat, much less one that's longer than the boat I'm in. We started pulling nets. We were dumping stuff overboard, and the guy said, don't dump it. I said, look, we leaving if I have to cut it. We got the nets in the boat, and we started in, and that boat started rocking. And all of a sudden, we went up on what they call a swell. It ain't swell, I promise you. You're sitting there, and all of a sudden, everything disappears. You can't see nothing, because, see, I'm sitting down in the boat, on the deck, arms locked on the rails. I got 2 life jackets on. I ain't taking no chances. And all of a sudden that boat lands on something and it just, the water picks the boat up. And I didn't realize that till I leaned and looked over. And it was a long way back down to that water. And about that time it says, and the boat just goes, whoo, and hits, and water's up on both sides of us. And I'm like, and this guy off the boat thought he'd be a smart aleck. He said, you know, we lose a lot of boats this way. I looked at him, I said, guys lose their life that way. Then we got into what they call rolling waves, where the boat would run into a wave and the nose would go up. And you start looking at the sky, and about that time it'd lean over like a, what's them things you ride in the, nah, when you was a kid, seesaw. You on there and it said, boom, boom. And the boat's up there doing this number. And about that time you hear the fan wheel, the propeller in the air going, and you see water shoot up behind you, and you're going, oh my God, the back of the boat's out of the water. And then you go down the other side, and suddenly the front of the boat disappears in the water. And you're realizing if we get a high enough wave, we're going straight down like a torpedo. Now they tell me that can't happen, but you couldn't convince me from where I was sitting. And if it ain't bad enough, the week before, I read Jaws. And I'm back there clinging to all I got, thinking there's a big great white following us, watching the boat, saying, that's the one I want. When he comes overboard, he's mine. Now, this guy on the boat decides to help me out. He says, that guy driving the boat, he knows what he's doing. We ain't got nothing to worry about. I looked at him, I grabbed him, pulled him up real close. I said, hey, his lips is white. He's sweating. He's scared as I am. He just got to stay up there. He did. Hello? Man, I got home and I got onto that bank and I thought to myself, I ain't never going to be dumb enough to do that again. Now, I've been on the ocean since, but I was on a big boat. And it got to rocking enough that Frida and Alex missed supper. Amen. I want to tell you something. I learned that time while we were out there that you had to have, we had some help. We had GPS. But can you imagine being in a boat in a storm like that? That ain't got nothing but sails, no GPS. They ain't got an idea where they are. And they get caught in what is called a Euroculan wind. Those are what that is. That is a tsunami or a hurricane in the Mediterranean. Just blows up. I don't know if y'all noticed it or not, but they said rogue waves were very normal in the Mediterranean Sea. I don't know what y'all understand that, but 30 to 40 foot waves just running along by themselves just are not abnormal. And these guys are out there, and they done got to the point they've tore the mast down. They started running ropes around the bottom of the boat to keep it from coming apart, and they're tying it together, and they're throwing stuff overboard, and all of a sudden this guy by the name of Paul disappears. They don't know where he's at. There are 274 people on that boat, ain't but 2 of them Christians. That's Luke, the one writing this book, and Paul. And all of a sudden, Paul goes downstairs, and the next thing you know, he comes running up and says, fellas, be of good cheer. I've been downstairs praying. He's with 272 heathens, and he's talking about praying. Come on, church. You know what? Some of you might realize you may be the one, Paul, on a boat full of heathens that needs to show them there's a God who can take care of you in the storm. And God might have put you there to be a light to a lost and darkened world so that you can light them up and make them realize who God is. Could you say amen to that, church? Praise be unto God. Now notice something. Amen. The Bible said Paul prayed when nobody else was praying. Can I tell you that no matter what your situation is, God will hear you when you call on him? I hear Jeremiah 33:3 when he says, call unto me and I will answer thee, and I'll show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I hear the word God tells me in the book of Isaiah, said, call, and while you're yet speaking, I'll hear, and while you're yet asking, I will answer. Can I tell you the hand of the Lord is not short, neither his ears heavy, that he cannot hear the cry of his people? Amen. And we need to understand our God's waiting on us to cry. He's waiting on us to pray. And when you're having a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day, if you'll get on your knees and begin to call on the name of the Lord, I got a God that's going to hear you. I got a God that's going to put some light into your darkened world and bring you out through the power of his love. Could you say amen? Notice this. Paul got excited when he heard from the Lord. He didn't stay down in the prayer room. Well, boys, it's going to be okay. He come busting out on the deck. Hey, let's have a party. Everybody on the boat's going, what is God, crazy? Has he been in the rum? Because on most ships, they had a barrel of rum downstairs. And they're thinking, this dude done tore the rum up. He's messed up. He ain't messed up. He's on the new wine. He's been alone with Jesus, and he comes up saying, hey, fellas, be of good cheer. Amen. I see some of y'all thought I couldn't prove that. It's in Scripture. He said, be of good cheer. The boat's falling apart. They're all scared to death. Ain't none of them got an idea where they are. Let me bring you up to date. Sailors in that day believed that you just rode so far and fell off the earth. Huh? They had no idea the world was round in this day. They knew when they went down through there that if they went so far, they could just run off the earth or run into a sea monster. And they're all going crazy because they're thinking, we're dying. And here's Paul, the land lover, who don't know nothing about ocean going. And he's talking about, be of good cheer. And one of them says, what kind of idiot are you? He said, because I was praying to my God. Hello? Now, you got Hindu and Buddhist. And, you know, I can't say what they were doing on the boat, but in the same place, around the same place, there was a boat got hit before. And before it started coming apart, they chunked the Christian overboard. His name was Jonah. But when that happened, the Bible said they were all calling on their gods. So I can see them out there. They're casting bones on the floor to see which one's coming up. They're calling on gods they ain't never heard of. And they're praying because they all think they're going. And about that time, Paul said, I called on my Lord. And there stood an angel by me this night of the God I serve. Church, can I tell you, when you're having a bad day, remember the God you serve. I don't care if it's a fiery furnace in front of you, if it's a lion's den. I don't care if it's an army of thousands. As long as you're serving the Lord God on high and you're holding on to the unchanging hand of him, you remember who you're serving. I got a God that's going to bring you out on the other side. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Listen, he said, the God whom I serve. Now, no, first of all, the next thing you got to do, we must believe in the God and what he said. You know what the problem most people have when they get in trouble? You don't believe God's word anymore. Of course, some of you ain't read it to believe it. I ain't even going to charge you for that one. Just let it hit where it needs to. Bible said, hide the word of God in your heart that it might be a light unto your path. But if you ain't reading the Bible, you just close God's mouth to you. And if God ain't talking to you, you're not ever going to hear a thing. But if his word's in your heart and things go wrong, God's going to start bringing things to your remembrance. Come on, church. Not yet. And when you hear that word, believe that word is real. Amen. Come on, church. That's good preaching. You say, wait a minute, preacher. Do you believe that? Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Could you say amen to that, church? Amen. We've got to get to that place where we grab the word of God and say, wait a minute. God didn't just speak that out of the notice. yesterday and he doesn't change. If he said it then, he still means it now. And if God said it then, he's the same God on the throne right now. And that same God that brought the kids through the fiery furnace is the same God's going to take me through my furnace, whatever it is. That same God that took them through the lion's den is the God that's going to carry me through the lion's den. And it is by his grace and his power that I am more than a conqueror through him who have loved me. And I'm not going to worry about what's coming. I read it to you this morning. It's neither death nor life nor principality nor any living thing is going to separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Woo. The word of God is alive, folks. We don't just tell you that, it's real. Some of you are killing the greatest thing in your life by not reading the word. It's the life. It's the truth and the life. I get more life out of the word than I do an oxygen tank, because that word will carry me when everything else is going wrong. That word's so powerful. You say, wait a minute, preacher, you can't possibly believe that. Let me tell you something. I shared this with the kids the other night upstairs. I'm a heathen. I'm 19 years old. I was 18. I was headed toward my 19th birthday. I messed up at a party. God ain't nowhere around me. As far as I'm concerned, I don't even know he exists. I've been in and out of church. People have been quoting scripture to me. I've been listening to Sunday school lessons, but I ain't never really tried to put anything in my heart. I fell off a walkway and landed on a car in the middle of the night, two stories up. If I'd landed a few feet on one side, I'd landed on the antenna of that car that probably went through me. I wouldn't be here right now, probably. The trailer hitch on the trailer fastened the car was popped up. Had I missed the car and landed on that, I probably wouldn't be here right now. But I landed at the perfect place that all I lost was all the air in me and a little bit of consciousness for a few moments. And when I started coming to myself and finally got to where I could breathe, and the rest of those people in the same condition I was realized I was no longer standing on the balcony. Come looking for me. I'm laying there looking into the sky, and something in my mind goes, when you see the stars, the handiworks of my fingers, you know there is a God somewhere. You know, I got saved. Started reading the Bible, and I'm reading in Psalms one night, and guess what I read in the book of Psalms? When you see the stars, the handiworks of my fingers. I wasn't reading the Bible. Somebody had quoted it to me. I'd heard it in some church somewhere, but it stuck. And at a time I needed it, it came alive in my life and made me realize there is a great God who is looking over me, who is trying to bring me out. And from that day forward, I started walking a path that was headed me to Buell Church of God, where I got saved a few weeks later in an altar, because that God said, hey, I'm real, and I want to know you. And can I tell you, it's just is real in the midst of your trouble. I got a God that can give you a word that'll bring you out the other side if you let it come alive in you. Last but not least, we must keep hope even when there is no hope. Paul said, fellas, be of good cheer. He looked over the captain and said, you shouldn't have left. I told you not to. He said, we're going to live, but your boat's gone, dude. That's in Ken Street vernacular. That's not King James Version. But that's basically what he said. He said, ship's gone, but ain't none of y'all going to die, because God's assured me all of y'all going to be safe. He said, but we're going to be on an island in the morning. Now, church, how dumb did that sound to a bunch of sailors that ain't got a clue where they are? Don't know there's any islands anywhere. But Paul's sitting there saying, look, I got a God, if he has to, he'll suck an island up off the basement of this flame, build it up and have it waiting on us when we get there. Glory. Hello? You see, some of y'all going, preacher, you're crazy. No, I'm just bad enough to believe that if I didn't have no other way for it to happen, God would cause an upheaval under the boys. And all of a sudden, there'd be a mountain come up out of that water and it'd be sitting there waiting on me when I need to get to it. Come on, church. Paul sat there and said, fellas, we're going to lose the boat, but we're going to be on an island. How many of you knows the story? Where were they at the next morning when they woke up? All 274 of them laying on a beach on the Isle of Melita. Not a one of them knew they were anywhere near that island. Not a one of them really knew where. Some of them really didn't even know where they were. Amen. Old Paul goes to build a fire, gets bit by a snake. Next thing you know, the whole island's worshiping him. He turns them to God, gets the whole bunch converted. Hello? Why did it happen? Because he maintained hope when there was no hope. Psalms 38:15, for in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord my God. Psalms 37, it said, fret not thyself over evildoers, neither be thou envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither like the green herb. But trust in the Lord, do good, and thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Psalms 135, it said, I wait for the Lord, for my soul wait, and his word do I hope. In Psalms 119:81, said, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but my hope is in thy word. Hallelujah. With the book of Lamentations, chapter 3. You know, Lamentations is written by Jeremiah while he's in prison. He's lamenting. He's upset because things ain't going right. And he's looking for it. And I am too, because you got to pop it up on screen, because I ain't got to copy it on this paper. Lord. I recall my mind, therefore I have hope. Why? Because thy mercies are renewed every day. Let me tell you something, church. I'm going to close with this, but I'm going to share this with you. 1979, Frederick came through Mobile. It was a hurricane. It wasn't my brother, but it was named after him. About like him. Man, it wasted Mobile. Most people who lived in West Mobile lost everything they had. We had several churches damaged. There was a lady, she was 80 years old. I had the privilege of meeting this lady after it all was over with. She is about as spry a young lady you ever want to meet. She was wide open. I mean, son, she was into it. You had church, she was going to have church. If you didn't have church, she was having it anyway. Her son, Jack Thomas, pastored there in Sarah Land. I was preaching for him. And man, they'd get to singing. She'd get up, come down the aisle. Ooh. Jack would go, my mama. I looked at him and said, what's the problem? He said, she's crazy. I said, she does that all the time. He said, that woman is shouting in the icebox. He said, but I tell you one thing, she's got more faith and more trust in God than anybody in this building. Saying nobody ever going to say nothing to her when she runs them aisles. Amen. See, they sent them to get her. According to the deputy sheriff that went to Big Lake Heights, it took four trips to catch her because she didn't want to leave her house. And they were ordered to evacuate everybody in that particular area because the storm was headed right over the top of it. And they said it could be total devastation in that area. Those of you don't remember, Frederick passed through Alabama. So I remember it come through Buell, and we were out lights for 2 weeks because it was still an 85 to 90 mile an hour hurricane when it came through Buell. So y'all got to realize it was bad when it was on the coast. And he said, we went to get her and said the goofy woman would run from us. Hide it, so we couldn't find her. So we made the fourth trip and we caught her in the house. He said, I was at the back door, the other guy was at the front door, and said he knocked on the front door and said she was coming out the back door, and I run up and said she slammed the door and I got my foot in before she could close it. He said, we got her up on our shoulder and said she was beating that boy's back. Leave me here, that's my house, I'm staying with it. I got a God to take care of me. They got her to the car. He said, we stood her down. Said she looked at him. She said, well, can I at least pray over this place? And he said, it was funny, preacher. Said, we just stood there and said, we took her hats off. Said, of course, his was already off. I was holding it. And said, I gave him his hat. Said, she got ready to pray. And said, he put his hat over his heart. Said, I guess he thought she's fixed to do the national anthem or something. He said, she went to pray and she said, God, I've been married to two preachers, they both passed away. But you gave me this place. I ain't got no insurance on it. I can't afford to buy nothing else. And I got to have this place. And the only thing I got to remember, my last husband's that tree we planted in that front yard. And said, God, here I got to leave here. You got to take care of it because I can't. She got in the car and they left. That whole area was devastated. One of our churches nearby had to be closed for 6 months so they could repair it enough to have church in it. houses were leveled. Just as it got to that area, tornado spawned off the hurricane and ripped up everything in its path. Brother Jack said she was just bound determined we was going to that house. He said, me and two of my brothers got out there with chainsaws and we cut trees and went down that old back road over into that holler where that house was. And he said, when we topped that hill and saw that house still sitting there, that deputy sheriff says, I went down there to check on that place and said, I rode down that road and said, I pulled up and said, I'd like to have to leave it, preacher. He said, her fishing poles were still standing on the back of the house. Ain't a leaf off that tree out front except the ones that already fell, because this was September. And he said, they were still leaves on the tree and said, they still sitting there. It ain't stripped like everything else. He said, my Lord, said they wasn't but one or two shingles off the whole house. And the guy told me one of them was gone before the storm come through. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? It's the kind of hope we can have. If we can start believing in God, just like Paul did in a boat coming apart in the middle of the ocean, my God said, I'm going to make it. I can make it. Can I tell you, some of you come in here tonight, you've been having a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. You've had a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad week. But there's a God in heaven that's waiting on you to fall on your knees and call on Him. And when you do, I got a God that's ready to put an island in the middle of your storm and get you off that boat that's falling apart and get some substance under you so you can make it if you'll turn it over to Him. Stand with me all over the house. Why don't you just raise your hands and just magnify Him for a moment. Father, we thank You tonight, God, for Your love and mercy. God, we magnify You, Lord, for that You're going to do for us. Holy Spirit of God, have Your way. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, I believe You tonight. Heal the brokenhearted. Those caught in worry, bring them out. God, let a peace settle in this building that pass all understanding. Holy Spirit of God, have Your way. Holy, holy God.